2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Dota into DFS pros.
Alright, welcome back to another DFS Army Bold Calls season-long fantasy football podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Allen, aka the Fantasy Football Geek, the founder, CEO, and Commander-in-Chief of the DFS Army. I've got season-long Sez on the line. What's up, season-long Sez?
How are ya? Oh man, I am ready. I am ready for fantasy football season to begin. I am so pumped, man.
Hell yeah. Let me ask you a question. How many drafts? Now, I'm not talking about best ball leagues because I know that's in the 50s. But how many season-long management-style leagues are you in right now?
Well, not to go unscathed, I actually finished at 64 best ball leagues. But season-long leagues, last year I was in 8 season-long leagues, and my goal was to cut down on 2 leagues this year. So I actually added 2. So I'm in I am in 10 season-long management leagues this year, for all different sort of formats, and I just keep getting more crazy by the year, and I love it. I can't get enough.
You are a very sick man, and you need help.
No, that's why. That's awesome. But I have one value to the world, and that is on this podcast.
There we go, man. Let's use some of that knowledge. So anyway, the point of today's podcast, this will be our last season-long strategies podcast of the season. Like, we'll still do them in season, but this is for draft strategies. And today is September 1st. We're in the heart of draft season. Most of us have either drafted a couple of teams already or are doing so this week or this weekend, really, or over the next few days. So what I wanted to talk about was like risers, fallers, and then get into a little bit of having drafted a whole bunch of teams already. Who do you have a lot of? Like, who do I have a lot of? Who have I just not ended up with any shares of, and why? So Let's get started with some late risers and fallers, and of course we have some unfortunate fantasy news or at least some potential news. So what are you hearing about Jerick McKinnon right now?
Okay, well today is the 1st of September, and Jerick McKinnon is looking more and more like a torn ACL. So he is likely out for the season. It was a non-contact injury. So the obvious move is, you know, just pick up Alfred Morris and pick up Matt Breida if they're not owned. And if you're drafting this weekend, I think they're both worth the top 75 to 80 pick, which basically puts them in the first 8 rounds. I think that's the simple, straightforward, obvious analysis.
Now, I'm of the mind that this injury actually, you know, between those two players favors Breida a little bit, because Morris just, you know, the role that was envisioned for McKinnon was definitely as the pass-catching back. And, you know, Morris hasn't traditionally, I mean, he's pretty old to learn some new tricks, so he hasn't traditionally been a pass-catching back. Would you agree that, you know, of those two, Breida is probably the higher upside asset?
I would say in PPR leagues, point-per-reception leagues, I think Breida is definitely a shrewd play. He's going to get catches. He might see 8 to 10 targets a game at this point and maybe another 8 or 10 carries. But let's remember, Alfred Morris, his best season was under Shanahan, the second-year coach for San Francisco, when he was in Washington, and Shanahan turned kind of a bust-looking Devonta Freeman in his rookie year into a star running back in his second year. Alfred Morris looked pretty good in spots, filling in for Zeke Elliott last year, and he looked really good in the preseason. I think in half PPR leagues or non-PPR leagues, if people still play in those, that Alfred Morris, he's going to be the starting running back for a Kyle Shanahan zone running scheme. He looks damn good. I'm happy to get either, but I think you're correct to say Breida is the more shrewd pickup in PPR.
Yeah, man, I'm having a hard time getting past my cognitive bias on Alfred Morris. I did not think he was very good in the role filling in for Zeke last season on the Cowboys.
Remember that when he filled in for Zeke, the offensive line was decimated. Their left tackle just was out for multiple games of the year, and that was a key thing, that the Cowboys' powerful offensive line was in bad shape. But Mars did a good job behind that line. But I think he's definitely going to cut loose. I've tempered and managed expectations, but I think he's a good pickup if your league is allowing free agent pickups for free. I certainly think he's worth bidding on if you have an auction budget, and certainly he's worth about an sixth to eighth round pick if you went wide receiver early. The other part of this is keep an eye on second year player Jeremy McNichols, who was drafted late by Tampa Bay last year, then cut, put on the practice squad in San Francisco. He is now looking interesting. I mean, he could literally just not even make the team, but he was a guy that was looking good at Boise State and then came into play, like I said, on the practice squad. So he might be interesting to look at. Or there's been a few running backs that have been waived, like Jonathan Williams on the Saints. They may add somebody still. So I still think the jury's out, but for now, that's what we got.
Yeah, none of these guys are locks for sure. There was another injury this past week. Marquise Lee from the Jaguars was lost for the season. And you and I talked about Keelan Cole. Give me your take on Keelan Cole, short and long term.
Sure. Short term and long term, it's very similar. I like Keelan Cole a lot, even before the Marquise Lee injury. He was really, really good last year. I asked you offline. I said, take a guess who led the NFL in receiving yards the last 6 weeks of the season. Yes, that's right. It was Keelan Cole. He had 600 receiving yards in 5 weeks. In the actual NFL playoffs, he went crazy. He caught that long, deep pass from Blake Bortles. He's not a shrimpy guy. He's 6'1". He's about 200 pounds. He's a decent size. I'm not saying he's one of these red zone sort of leap over everybody guys, but he's fast. He comes out of breaks. I like Keelan Cole. Just basically, you could draft him where you were drafting Marquise Lee in like the 10th round. And in long term, I love him too. I mean, we'll see if they add anybody. The receiving core may not. They have a lot of options there. But I'm grabbing Keelan Cole on waivers if you have free pickups. I'm certainly drafting him anywhere between the 9th and 12th round.
All right, so let's play one of my favorite games of him or him, like this or that. So let me look here. I'm going to throw some names at you, and you tell me if you like them better or worse than Keelan Cole. I'm going to start with Jamison Crowder. Jamison Crowder or Keelan Cole?
Oh, I'm assuming this isn't a PPR.
Yeah, I don't do non-PPR leagues. I don't even think like that. So,
okay, and
who are
also
you taking, Jay Crowder, Keelan Cole?
Well, in a vacuum, you still got to think Crowder has enormous PPR upside. Those catches that, and Alex Smith likes to throw the short ball, but you don't have it's the price is factored in. I mean, I've seen Crowder now go in the late sixth round, early seventh, and like I said, Cole is still going in the double digit rounds. So, given the price, I'm probably taking Cole. That's way too rich of a price for me for Crowder. Do you have a different opinion on that?
I'm just asking you, man. I'm just asking you. How about Kenny Galladay? Are you taking Cole over Kenny Galladay?
I'm taking Kenny Galladay over him. I think that, I mean, he flashed last year, just looked amazing. He's going to be starting in two wide receiver sets. Golden Tate's going to move to the slot. And if they're just in a base set, I think this is the Kenny Galladay breakout, man. The upside is too enormous. But I still love Cole, but Kenny Galladay is one of the guys I'm targeting in all my drafts in the eighth or ninth round.
I've actually gotten this question. Quincy Enunwa or Keelan Cole?
This is for me, it's Keelan Cole.
There we go. So Keelan Cole, a little, that's the range that we've got for Keelan Cole. And I agree. I mean, Keelan Cole flashed at the end of last season. You're right. And he had that little group of good games. And it looks like he's the one guy that seems like he's going to be a staple in the Jaguars offense as a starter. But I also think that passing group in general is very volatile from week to week. He's not exactly somebody I'm super excited to be rolling out as a starter every single week of the season. I will give you one more him or him, and another riser, I would say, in general, John Brown or Keelan Cole?
Oh, that's a good one.
The sheriff.
I think that this comes down to what flavor of cuisine you like. John Brown has a real chance. I mean, we've seen it from John Brown. He had that his sophomore year, he had 1,000 yards and I think it was like 7 or 9 touchdowns. And if he's healthy, man, I mean, that's who he is. He's a 1,000 yard. He's the all reports are that Flacco is basically made him the number one receiver. It's not Crabtree. So, but you can get John Brown still even later in the 14th round. But in a vacuum, I would say it comes down to what, if you don't mind the injury risk of John Brown, he's probably the better player, but you can get them both. So I'm probably taking Cole in the 10th or 11th, and then I'm coming back in the 13th with John Brown.
I agree. Brown's issue has never been his talent. We've loved him. You and I have talked about John Brown for multiple seasons. And whatever that illness that he has that kind of messes with his recoveries has really been a problem for him. So hopefully he's gotten past that.
Well, he has the sickle cell trait, which could flare up. And a lot of this stuff can be controlled with nutrition and diet. And we talked about this too, NFL players are becoming more enlightened. They realize at this point that because they've gotten away with eating fast food and candy and Skittles and all that kind of stuff, and just because they're superhuman athletes, but they realize they recover as they get into their early and mid 20s, if they eat proper nutrition and they really seek out guidance on this, their recovery times, their autoimmune disease, like something like sickle cell, can be controlled a little better with nutrition. So I'm not sure. I don't have any information if John Brown's been doing this, but it seems like a lot of NFL players are on it now.
Now, I understand that your wife is a dietitian, and if she had some sort of a business, we would plug it here. But yeah, she doesn't, so we can't.
Well, it's forthcoming. she's putting together now, and we could save that for another podcast because I think sports and nutrition really go together. And her business.
I'm just kidding around that.
All right.
One day we'll plug that. All right.
She can sponsor the podcast.
There we go. All right. So let's get back into it. So give me some names of players that are falling for you in general, outside of those big injury guys, just guys that you're less excited about today than you were 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Okay, so we're starting with fallers. I was in the assumption we're starting
now,
with Roger. Okay,
start with the negative, and then we go positive. Keep it happy. Keep it peppy.
Okay. All right. Well, not that I'm taking him out of the first round, but I've cooled quite a bit on Saquon Barkley. I was okay taking him at pick 4 ahead of Zeke not too long ago, but rookies, hamstring injury, again, I still think Barkley's going to be great. I would take him in the first round, but I've moved players like Fournette for sure over him. I'm probably taking Melvin Gordon over him, and that's probably where I draw the line. I had Barkley at pick 4 or 5. I'm probably moved him down to about 9 or 10 at this point. That's not a cliff dive, but that's certainly a significant fall. What do you think about Barkley?
I mean, that's a very big fall. I still am on board the Barkley hype train, so I still kind of like him above Kamara. No, he's not falling like that for me. I get that the Giants are going to have their usual offensive line issues, but I just love the volume that he's going to bring to the table. I think Barkley is going to be on the field no matter what's going on.
Well, would you take Fournette above him?
That's my decision point. And I happen to like, well, no, I would take Barkley ahead of Fournette.
How about Kareem Hunt? You talked about liking that workload. You can't like anyone's workload more than you're going to like Kareem Hunt.
I mean, Hunt is a faller for me. I don't love Hunt's workload as much because we've seen this Andy Reid offense, regardless of who was at the helm, just forget about the running back position. And everybody is remembering the stretch when Nagy took over this team last year and just went bananas with the volume for Hunt. But I kind of remember when it was before that. And we'd see games where Hunt would only get 12, 11, 13 opportunities. And now I hearken back in my memories to Jamaal Charles facing similar circumstances under Andy Reid's guidance. So I am not as high on Kareem Hunt. He's a faller for me. Fournette.
The good news about the Hunt when there was that 5-game stretch where they just for some reason stopped feeding him the ball was they lost all 5 games. And they quickly realized, to their credit, I mean, it was stupid that they stopped feeding their young star running back. And they quickly realized they needed to start giving the ball. And then after that, when they started giving him his 20-plus carries and his 6-plus catches a game, that's when they started winning again.
But I mean, this is not new. They did this with Jamaal Charles as well, and it was the same baffling decision making 5, 6, 7 years ago when Jamaal Charles was their running back, where he was just never the number one overall type of player because he never got that volume floor that somebody like Gurley or David Johnson or Ezekiel Elliott all currently, and Bell, of course, all currently have. You know, they will not have games really where they get below 20 touches. That whole group of four.
So but somebody who's drafting this weekend, where would you tell them to take Kareem Hunt? Like, where's the line for you? Is
right
it still
after
in the first round?
It's in the first round, but I have Fournette ahead of him.
Okay. So then Melvin Gordon or Kareem Hunt?
Hunt and then Gordon.
Okay. And then where are you putting Barkley in that group?
Barkley at the top of the group. Better than all of them.
All right. So you asked me about fallers. Your faller was Hunt in the first round. Mine was Barkley in the first round. How about do you have any fallers that you're looking at that you were taking in, say, like rounds 3, 4, 5 that are literally just out of those rounds at this point?
Yeah. For me, one of the guys that I'm just not touching at all is Mike Evans. He's just going ahead of where I will take a wide receiver. And I have a couple of them. So I'm going to say Mike Evans. So I'm going to give you two. Two guys in the top 30 that I'm not taking, period, my team.
Can I just ask you about Evans before you name all of them?
Yeah.
Like, you're not taking Evans in the third round? You're just passing on him?
I'm passing on him. I'm just looking at other positions. If he's staring me in the face in the third round, and Evans is going right now, right top of the third, like the first pick in the third round.
Right. He's going anywhere from 210 to 3-3.
Yeah, and I've made the decision to grab Travis Kelce in that spot. I've doubled up on running back, like a Howard, you know, Kenyon Drake type combination in that area. I'm not taking Evans because A, he's been disappointing for a while now. B, his quarterback situation is a disaster. I really thought Tampa should have traded for Teddy Bridgewater. I thought that was a big mistake. But his quarterback situation is troublesome. I don't like Ryan Fitzpatrick at all. I think he's a fraud. And I'm not sure Jameis Winston doesn't suck. I mean, are you?
Well, if you look at the last half of the year from last year, Winston came on. I know he started really bad in the first 8 games, but the last like 5 or 6, he was really good. And in the preseason, he looked really good. This punishment that he's serving now, the 3-game suspension, he was an idiot. He groped an Uber driver. I mean, who does that? I mean, it's
hell is wrong with this guy?
Right. But it was from 2 years ago. Now, listen, we were all knuckleheads in our 20s, and we did stupid things. Now, again, I'm not condoning what he did, but if the social media was around when I was in my early 20s, you know,
I'm going to point out, as you said, he came on late at the end of last season. So I'm going to throw out some numbers to you, some points totals from week 10, not even. I can't tell the week here. So I'm just going to say it starts with October 29th, 8.5 fantasy points. Against the Saints the next week, 1.8 fantasy points for Evans. Miami, 11 points. Atlanta, 10 points. Green Bay, 3 points. Detroit, 3 points. This is a guy who's delivering. Versus Atlanta, 16 points. Versus Carolina, 13 points. This is a guy who's delivering sub-10-point games the regular.
Are you looking at the correct...
I'm looking at Mike Evans' game log from last season. Not Winston. Mike Evans' game log.
Okay. Yeah, no. We were talking about Jameis Winston.
Yeah, but if you look at the Evans game log, where are these big games that justify this player? I will take Amari Cooper over him. I will take... There's just a number of players that I can get later... that I will take over this guy who hasn't been consistent. He's not putting up massive yardage totals. He crossed 100 yards one time last season, once, one time, and just has not looked like the stud that he's been hyped up to be. I don't see it. I don't understand the draft position. I don't have any shares of him in any leagues.
Okay, now I'm not going to fight you on that one. I think that if you're going to plant the flag and say pass on Mike Evans, I'm not going to fight you on that. But I just – again, we kind of cross subjects here. When I was saying Jameis Winston came on at the end of last year, starting in week 13, his fantasy points were like this, 20, 20, 30, 16, 30.
What
I was talking about.
Okay.
So that's what I'm saying. The last 5 games, he was lights out. So when you ask me if I think Winston sucks, I think that he's been inconsistent, but he showed a five-game stretch when it counted. That's what you're looking for, that he put that together, and he looked really good in the preseason. I think this incident he had with the Uber driver, it's behind him. It happened a couple years ago. He didn't even fight the suspension. He just said, let's just move on. And he's obviously available as your very last pick. I think Winston, when he comes back, from the time he comes back, he's a top 10 fantasy QB.
Dan, I'm fair enough. I was not looking at the Winston side of it, other than to say, like I said, he did have that long stretch last year of looking really bad. So I think the jury is out on him. I don't think he is a definitive franchise quarterback in this league. I think this season is going to be make or break for Jameis Winston. All right, I'm going to name another guy in that same range, and for different reasons that's falling for me, and I would assume for just in general, and that's Doogie Baldwin. The 85% knee that will not be 100% this season statement.
Yeah, well, just for your listeners that don't follow it as crazy as you and I do, Doug Baldwin, in a press conference when asked how his knee was, he's been sitting out most of the preseason. And before that, when he was healthy, he was going in the late second, early third round of fantasy drafts. He had said that his knee is not going to be 100% this season, that he plans to play through it, and he expects it to be somewhere in the 85% range. But here's my question, and this is, I think, an important one for fantasy. Is it going to be one of those injuries that is hurting him during the game, and when he goes to make his cuts or his breaks, he's kind of like wilts? Or is it one of those things where he gets enough rest, he plays the game, he's fine, it swells up the day after a game, they drain it, they give him his pain shots, and by Friday, he doesn't practice all week, and by Friday, he's ready to go again, and then that cycle all over again? I think that's an important distinction if he's going to play at an 85%, and we won't know that.
No, you don't know, which is why he's got to come down the draft board a little bit to a spot that kind of accounts for the mystery of this injury. So
where would you take him? Where are you taking him? That's really what it comes
to. Well, I was going to throw this at you, right?
Okay.
So let me throw my questions at you, my usual. Amari Cooper or Doug Baldwin?
I think at this point, I'm going Cooper.
There we go. Jarvis Landry or Doug Baldwin?
Okay, we haven't talked about Jarvis Landry yet, but I'm in PPR leagues. I'm very high on Jarvis Landry. Jarvis Landry is basically, I'll take him with the very last pick of the second round or the first pick in the third round if I'm on that turn. If he falls to the middle, Jarvis Landry at the end of the second or third round, I mean, welcome to fantasy gold right there. I mean, that is just amazing. But stick with your subject here.
And by the way, he does fall there in a lot of drafts. But Baldwin. Landry, you're going to tell me, right? Landry.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
Now I got a Jarvis Landry or question for you elsewhere, but Juju Schuster or Baldwin?
At this point, Juju.
Baldwin,
here's basically where I would take Baldwin at this point. If I'm picking, if you have a late fourth round pick, which basically means you picked early in the draft. So if you went early in the 1, 2, or 3 spot and you took Gurley and then you got, say, your favorite receiver or whatever running back was left over there, on the 4-5 turn, if Baldwin falls to the fourth round, it's still kind of risky, but that's probably where I would take him at this point, is late fourth.
All right, let me jump to that area because I just want to throw some more of these at you. Chris Hogan or Doug Baldwin?
Chris Hogan.
There it is. Okay. Marvin Jones Jr. or Doug Baldwin?
I think at this is my decision point. I probably would go Baldwin, but I wouldn't fault anybody for getting a healthy Marvin Jones Jr. there. You know what it is? I just don't – there's going to be so much carnage and injury and disappointment and failure during the season. It'd be nice to go into the season with healthy players.
Well, that's always the thing. It's funny because a lot of these guys are probably playing with similar injuries to whatever Baldwin has right now. But the fact that he said it won't be 100% this year is a red flag, I think, for a lot of people, including myself. I'm like, listen, I want, you know, sometimes when you hear about a knee injury, you're like, it'll be better next week. You know what I'm saying? Like, in your mind, it's like, well, he'll heal up in a week or two. But this is something different. This is some nagging injury. And there's this fear that, oh, what if this gets worse and the guy's out and I spend. So in essence, what you're saying is late WR2, early WR3 sort of ranking on Baldwin, because we're putting him in like that WR20 level if we're talking about him and Marvin Jones Jr. in the same sentence.
Here's some actionable advice. If you're on the clock and Doug Baldwin falls and you're looking at like Demaryius Thomas and Allen Robinson as the next best wide receivers on the board, that's where I'm taking Doug Baldwin. I don't like Demaryius or Allen Robinson for a slew of reasons. I mean, you know, there's obviously a price where everybody's attempting, but I'm probably taking Baldwin ahead of those guys. And I'm taking him ahead of Golden Tate. That's probably where I draw the line.
There we go. I think that's good information on Baldwin and very, very actionable indeed. So give me a couple of your fallers since you talked about a few of mine.
Okay. Someone that I'm going to give the rookie running backs that were in the third, fourth, fifth round have just plummeted down the draft board with the exception of our boy Hoyce Freeman, who's actually gone up, and we'll talk about him in a minute. But Rashad Penny and Sony Michel have just tumbled down draft boards. Now, for various reasons, Rashad Penny, the Seattle Seahawks first round pick, suffered a finger injury and was just simply outplayed by Chris Carson, which if people have been listening to us all summer, know that we predicted was going to happen just basically by observing. I think Penny will be valuable at some point, but you can't take him in the third, fourth, and fifth round anymore. You need to wait till the ninth round, and it's a very smart pick if you want to jump ahead the eighth round, but he is just falling down the draft board.
Bench, Sony Michel. Bench stash yep. city at yep. this point for Rashad Penny for sure.
Yep. Sony Michel, same thing. He's in college. He had knee problems. He was a fumbler. That has kind of played out already. He has fumbled a little bit, which I'm not too worried about at this point, but he's having the knee drain. Now he's questionable for week one. He's a rookie that missed training camp. Usually rookies have problems getting on the field because of pass protection issues. And if you're not learning schemes and how that all works, you're going to have trouble early on. The Patriots backfield, as usual, is going to be a little hard to predict. Probably Jeremy Hill will have three touchdowns in week one, and then he'll be on your bench. Yeah. But Sony Michel and then obviously Ronald Jones Jr., who was going in the third, fourth, fifth round of drafts a month ago, is literally probably, you can't take it before the 10th round at this point. He's lost the starting job to Peyton Barber, and I think he's even behind Jaquizz Rodgers. So he's basically a first and second down situational back, and those guys don't yield a lot of fantasy points.
Definitely bust city written all over Ron Jones Jr., at least as of this moment. All right, so let's talk about some – and you mentioned another wide receiver that I think for me is dropping a little bit, and that's Demaryius Thomas as well. It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense why he would be taking, so many rounds ahead of Emmanuel Sanders when their production the last couple of years has been really similar, and Sanders by all – reports seems to have a nice rapport with Case Keenum, which Demaryius Thomas does not seem to have. So, that's all reports, and we don't know for sure what will happen, but it doesn't make sense to me to grab a Demaryius Thomas multiple rounds ahead of Emmanuel Sanders, who's kind of like the same thing or better for cheaper, in my opinion.
Emmanuel Sanders is the best wide receiver value in fantasy football so far this year. I mean, when we started talking about Emmanuel Sanders in best ball drafts, he was going in round 9. He's definitely in the 6th round at this point, and he's still a value.
Yeah, I agree. Another big dropper for me, actually, before I move on, because there are some names that really I just don't touch. Sammy Watkins is another big drop for me. I just don't really get why he was considered – a WR2 earlier this season. The guy has never produced outside of some splash games at the fantasy level. Certainly has never been consistent. And now he's playing a role that just hasn't produced fantasy points ever with the Chiefs. I mean, give me the last outside wide receiver that was good or did anything but suck on the Chiefs. You will struggle to because there isn't one.
Well, you know what? Sammy Watkins was they made him the highest paid free agent wide receiver this year. I mean, he's making like 16 or 17 million bucks this year. Just to give you perspective, I mean, that's like top receiver money. I mean, he is so they brought him in. They paid him a lot. You see Patrick Mahomes, who's got this insane cannon of an arm. People got excited. I mean, they were drafting him in the fifth round. I was doing the same in best ball. But it really appears, just from observing the preseason and reading the camp reports, that Tyreek Hill, who, again, he's on my risers list, we'll talk about him in a minute, is clearly the number one guy, and he's actually going to get some volume this year, it appears. So Sammy Watkins I still think is useful, but his price has fallen. I wouldn't be comfortable taking him in the fifth where he was, but now you don't need to pay that. You're paying an eighth, ninth round pick. Usually there's other guys I like at that point, but I don't have any major objection to taking him at that point. I mean, you're choosing between
– ready for this? Sammy Watkins or Randall Cobb?
Well, Randall Cobb's about to be cut. He's injury prone. Randall Cobb's crossed off my draft board. So Sammy Watkins.
Now, where you need to tell me more about this Randall Cobb news, because I heard that that was not necessarily the case, and there's a lot of rumors around Cobb this year.
Let me give you what I've read and what I understand. So they have obviously Davante Adams is their number one wide receiver. Jimmy Graham is going to be the tight end who's probably going to catch a lot of touchdowns. Geronimo Allison, who's kind of a replacement level player, but he knows Aaron Rodgers' system, is going to be the number two. So that left Randall Cobb with slot duties. The Packers drafted three rookies. They drafted Jamon Moore, Quimius St. Brown, and Marquez Scandling. So far, Marquez Scandling, who is a tall receiver, has been in the slot, and they've liked him there, and it's actually been working. So that made Cobb expendable. So they started shopping him around, from what I understand. But who's going to trade for
– nobody's trading for Cobb. This idea of shopping him is ridiculous.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He makes $8 million, which is very expensive for a wide receiver, and he's injury prone. So his market is bad. So what they could do is they could either just waive him and they save some money on the cap, or – I mean, I just don't see anyone that would pay even a seventh-round pick for him. But –
not with an $8 million salary. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, no, that's the problem. He's untradeable with his current contract. Maybe he'll restructure to stay there. So Cobb, I just think, I don't see him as having much fantasy value, especially not predictable fantasy value. So one of those three rookies that they drafted is going to be the third receiver.
All right, let's move on. And I'm down with that. I want to see what happens with Cobb, because I've heard the rumors, but then, I'll believe it when I see it. I think that, Rodgers values sort of, it's a system that they run over there, and familiarity has been important for a quarterback like Rodgers. So, I'm curious to see if they really go ahead and cut Cobb, a guy who's been in the system for a lot of years and, has been fine for the most part when he's healthy. So we'll see what happens there. But I could see it being a money reason, or maybe moving on to younger sort of talent at the position. But I also think there'll be a little bit of growing pains if they choose to make that move. So let's talk about some players who are rising late in fantasy draft season for you. Give me a couple names of players that you like a lot more today than maybe you did even a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago I wasn't even drafting these two players, and now I'm aggressively drafting Zach Ertz and Nelson Aguilar. The reason being, Alshon Jeffery is going to miss at least 2 weeks. I think it could be longer. We started talking about Alshon Jeffery was going to be a problem on our very first podcast back in June 1st. That's played out exactly like that. Nelson Aguilar was good last year after a slow start his rookie year. He came on in the playoffs. He's literally their de facto number one wide receiver. Zach Ertz is going to be their number one pass catcher and red zone threat. I think you got to take Zach Ertz at the end of round two if you want to get him. I don't see him being there in smart drafts in round three. And Aguilar has been underpriced all season in the ninth round. I just jumped up to the late sixth in the draft. People ooh and ahed when I did that, but I thought that was the right place. I don't think he's coming back to you in the seventh at this point. So Ertz and Aguilar, I think, are two players I'm aggressively going after.
That's interesting. And you're not too concerned about the lack of Carson Wentz at the helm early on.
You mean the guy who won NFL MVP, sorry, who won Super Bowl MVP is going to be thrown to them? That's a problem.
I mean, he's looked like a pile of duty.
Wait, you mean the guy who set the record for touchdown to interception ratio, who had one of an historic season, the guy who picked apart the Bill Belichick Patriots and the Minnesota Vikings in the playoffs? You mean that guy had a bad preseason game, and you're worried?
I am concerned. I mean, you're saying I shouldn't be concerned about Nick Foles?
I mean,
he's looked terrible for most of his career outside of that playoff run.
Let me just remind you of when Carson Palmer was on the Bengals and he went down for the year and the Bengals looked horrendous. They looked horrible with rookie quarterback named Andy Dalton. And Andy Dalton looked bad in the preseason. By week one, he got it together and they went on a massive run to the playoffs. I think the preseason, sure, it's useful for some things, for looking at a guy, a quarterback with a rich history like Nick Foles. I'm not worried at all. That talk about system, that is one of the best, if not the best system in the whole NFL with Doug Peterson, the coach. I'm super high on whoever's throwing the football there. I'd almost rather it be Nick Foles until Carson Wentz is 100% healthy. And I think Carson Wentz isn't coming back before week four. That's just my personal opinion.
This is a bold call happening before your eyes. And for everybody who's looking at DFS week one, and the showdown slate on this upcoming Thursday, where we're a little bit nervous. Well, I don't know about Foles. You know, he's looked like shit in the preseason, and I don't know which team. Season-long says not to worry about Foles. He'll be just fine.
He's a buy.
I like it. All right.
How about you? What, any guys shooting up the draft board for you that you're going to be aggressively going after?
I was so taken by your take on Foles here that I forgot who I was going to talk about for a minute.
I'm going to ask you about it.
No, I do have a riser, and it's somebody that we've talked about again in previous pods, but now is solidifying his position, and that's Jamal Williams,
running back
for the Green Bay Packers. Williams, I mean. Is it Williams? Is it Aaron Jones? Where should we take these guys? Seventh, eighth, ninth rounders. At this point, it looks like Jamal Williams, at least certainly for the first couple of weeks, but looking like overall, is going to be the guy for the Packers. And, you know, he's still available very late in your draft, RB, you know, 24, 25, 26 range. You know, you get a workhorse role for the Packers, you're going to put up a lot of points. I mean, He's a riser for me. He's a guy that I'm trying to get in most of my drafts because I like him a little bit more than his current ADP. What do you say about Jamal Williams?
Well, you know where I stand on Jamal Williams based on our conversations we've had. Since early, let's say, April, I've been reaching to get Jamal Williams in the end of the sixth round.
I thought you were crazy at that time, by the way.
Right, because they've planted a flag with Jamal Williams. Mike McCarthy, even going back to the early Eddie Lacy days, likes to roll out one running back. And for better or for worse, even if it's not the more talented back, Jamal Williams is a better pass protector than Aaron Jones. He actually, believe it or not, got about 20-plus carries the last half of the season. I think from, I forget exactly what week nine on or week seven on, Jamal Williams was an RB1 for fantasy.
Oh my God, he was crushing it. We remember in daily fantasy, for daily fantasy, because he was a super value play that was producing like crazy at the end of last season.
Yeah, I love Aaron Jones, but he's suspended for two games. He had hamstring problems. Just a skill is staying on the football field. Mike McCarthy, not one of the sharpest coaches in the league. If it had not been for Aaron Rodgers, he probably would have been fired a long time ago. So Aaron Jones is probably going to need an injury or a really bad game or two from Jamal Williams in order to get in there now. I think you can safely draft Jamal Williams anytime from the fifth round or later and be really happy you did.
Absolutely. I agree. Another guy that I'm not sure I'm going to say he's rising up draft boards, but I'm going to say yes. For me, he's a riser, and this is 100% based on some coach speak. So take that for what it's worth. But Jordan Howard, ever since the "we're going to play this guy on third downs" comment from Matt Nagy, has been someone that I've gone from shying away from drafting to someone I'm excited to draft in the middle of the second round or after. What do you say? What's your thought on Jordan Howard?
So, what happened?
And by the way, I want to throw in another note before I let you speak on that. I think the addition of the defensive player.
Khalil Mack?
Yeah, Khalil Mack. The addition of Khalil Mack to that Bears defense also serves as a positive for the type of running back that Jordan Howard is, where solid defensive games, a little more of that two-down grinding, play some defense kind of thing. I think that adds to his cachet.
Yeah, what the geek is talking about here, for those of you who study game strategy or are interested in it, is that when a team has a really stout, good defense, that sets up well for leads and clock killing at the end of games. And a runner that's a grinder like Jordan Howard is perfectly suited in that role. So teams that have good defenses and have leads in the fourth quarter likely will just feed their workhorse running back. So I agree with you there. Jordan Howard, I read the comments about that Jordan Howard's going to play on third downs, and that sent Tariq Cohen tumbling down draft boards. This is what I read into that comment. I read something again, it's all conjecture and guessing, but I have the opposite viewpoint. What's the guy going to say? Jordan Howard's not going to play on third downs and basically show his poker hand while everyone's betting? I mean, you can't do that. You got to say he's playing on third down. I still think that you have one of the most electric pass-catching running backs on the roster. You need to play him on third down. Now, if that means Tariq Cohen ends up being more of like a slot receiver type, but I don't think that that's going to affect his snaps. You still got to get this guy his targets. I feel strong about Jordan Howard in a sense where I wasn't taking him in the third round. I was passing on him. Now I'm taking him at value. So I feel more confident in there. They're giving him a clean slate, basically. The coach said, we know you've dropped game passes. I mean, drops are not a thing that's too sticky from year to year. I mean, it's just that he had a couple high-profile drops, and including game-winning drops last year.
He's looked incompetent as a pass catcher. Like, beyond, this isn't the greatest pass-catching back level, and more of like, this guy just can't catch level in the past. But that's what he's looked like. I will give that.
Reaching into the second round to get Jordan Howard?
I'm not reaching up for him, but he was a guy I was also kind of on my avoid list. But yes, yeah. I think that you can take a Jordan Howard right at the end of the second round. I think if you start your draft off with one of the studs, Gurley, DJ, Bell, Zeke, and you're coming back around in that late second, early third area, and in one of those two picks, Howard is sitting there staring at the bay. So like, it's the late second, and hey, I'm grabbing one of the late second wide receivers, got Davante Adams on my team or something like that. And then here I am in the third round, and I'm looking at Jordan Howard or Dalvin Cook or Joe Mixon.
Well, that was what I say. Like, put those three in order. Are you taking Jordan Howard over Dalvin Cook at this point?
I think I'm taking Dalvin Cook ahead of Howard, but I'm taking Howard ahead of Mixon.
Okay. All right. So that's how it's all settled in for you.
Yeah,
I think I'm taking Mixon ahead of that group. I think Jordan Howard, then Dalvin Cook is the third for me in that group.
Yeah, I'm not a big Mixon believer as of yet. So he will make me a believer, I expect, this year, but I'm just not there yet with him. All right, give me some of your other risers here as we're getting kind of towards late here, and I didn't give you as much opportunity as I kind of took with my risers.
No, that's fine. I'm enjoying the conversation as always. All right. So somebody that he's been very polarizing, and he started off, this is a pass catching running back, and I'm talking about Christian McCaffrey. He was going in the very early third round, late second round when we started best ball season. And then he kind of settled into the middle of the second round. At this point, I've seen him go as high as pick 8 in the first round.
That's ridiculous.
And his floor is basically pick 14, which is the second pick of the second round. What's your take on Christian McCaffrey? The workload in the preseason has been astronomical, but I'm not one to say, okay, they're giving him work in the preseason. That's what it's going to be in the regular season. I think more that they're kind of testing him out in that role, and that's why you don't see players like Zeke Elliott and Gurley getting preseason work, because their role's already solidified. I think they're not sure what they're going to do with Christian McCaffrey. That's why they want to see if he'll hold up. I'm very comfortable taking him in the very early second round, but I'm not there with him as a first round pick. What say you?
I'm definitely. I almost want to read you the write up I just did for my week one DFS Army Geeks Picks DFS sheet, because it's very telling. I was just doing my write up on McCaffrey, and yeah, all right. I hate to read on a pod, so I'm going to just break it down a little bit. I'm talking about how he is the preseason darling and he's done his thing. But For example, when it comes to FanDuel, and we're talking about a half-point PPR system, where that PPR floor isn't enough.
Yeah, no. He's only in this conversation if we're talking about PPR. The minute you go to half...
This is what I'm saying. In full point PPR, I like him very much because he brings a very high floor to the table. Very high. You're talking about a guy who's probably looking at 10 targets a game and some carries. Now, how many carries? I don't know. But 10 targets a game is enough for me for a running back because if he catches 7 of them, he's likely to at least get me 10 to 13 fantasy points without a touchdown. And that's pretty reasonable as far as a floor. And then the occasional touchdown, the occasional big play, you're talking 22, 24 points. But when it comes to the Panthers offense and a guy like McCaffrey who's, you know, prove it to me that you can run up the middle because I haven't seen it. Prove it. As of right now, he's basically an over-glorified J-Rock McKinnon. And
well, I don't know. I mean, I more liken him to Reggie Bush. I think that's a fair comment.
Right, it's fair because McKinnon has been shit. But
right.
But my point is, you still have Newton who's going to steal the goal line carries and touchdowns for himself. That is, we know Newton's going to do that. I don't care what hell the coaches say. They lie.
But wait a second.
Newton will still take those touchdowns.
We saw McCaffrey in the preseason get the goal line work. And again, I think they were just...
Yeah, because they're not going to... Newton's not going to steal those touches in the preseason. He doesn't want to hurt himself. But when it comes to the regular season, he will go back to what he does, which is QB sneak it anywhere from within the 2 or 3 yard line. He will steal those touchdowns. I need my running back to get those easy opportunities. Because if he's not getting those, what's he getting? He's getting, sure, the toss and catch from the 14 yard line. He runs it in for the touchdown. Great. You know, that's the Kamara situation.
Yeah, but let me just go back for a second. So in my projections, I only have Christian McCaffrey, and we've talked about this on other podcasts, but even if he only has 3 rushing touchdowns and say like another 3 catching, so a total of 6 touchdowns. If he last year, he had like 75 catches. If this year, if he gets like 85 catches, that pays the bills in PPR. You don't need to get more than 6.
He's a high floor PPR player.
I think a high floor, high ceiling player.
Got
I think
the big ceiling, but he does lack the touchdown upside on a week to week basis that I want from a first round pick.
You don't need it in PPR. If he's getting 8 catches a game, you don't need it.
Yeah, it's fine. But I mean, I bring a DFS point of view. I really look at him as like a high priced DFS play every week. He'll bring that floor, but again, he's not going to get, you would love this guy. He would be, all right, if I could project that he would get goal line carries and that Newton wouldn't take it, I'd have him right with Alvin Kamara at that level. You know, middle of the first round, that 8th pick overall. That's what they're taking at 8 overall, so you're taking him ahead of Fournette, is you're saying, I think this guy is going to, you know, get in the end zone a lot. And I think that's foolish.
That was his high. I would say that, you know, once those running backs are off the board and you're looking at basically the receivers at the end of the first round, I wouldn't be shocked if somebody did it. But again, you take him at the 12, 13 turn, no problem.
That's where I like him as well. So he is a riser, but I'm not ready to take him over DeAndre Hopkins or Odell Beckham Jr. Sorry.
Agreed. So I think a good way to kind of finish this episode of the podcast is, why don't we each give one piece of advice that we would – there's going to be a lot of people drafting tonight, tomorrow, through the rest of the early part of the week. What is like one piece of draft advice, kind of general, but that could be very helpful to people, not about specific names, but your overall philosophy for drafting and redraft PPR leagues?
All right. I have one thing that I come back to every single year, every season, regardless of really the draft type that I'm in. I think you need to make a decision in your draft between a stud tight end or a top line quarterback. But you can't have both.
Yeah.
So if you're going to take one of those positions in the top 5 rounds, that's cool. Fine by me, right? One of them. But if you take 2, if your draft winds up with Deshaun Watson in the 4th round and Zach Ertz in the 3rd round, chances are you're going to be scrambling for depth late. So you really have to make that decision at some point along the way in the draft. Am I going to take a higher end wide tight end or a higher end quarterback, and have players in mind that you could take later at both of those positions that you're also happy with in case the draft doesn't fall a certain way. So that would be my general draft approach advice if I had to give one bullet point. How about you?
Yeah, that's a good one. That's smart. If I personally don't like to go early on tight end or QB. I told you I'm going to aggressively draft Zach Ertz, so maybe that's out the window.
There it is.
So I agree with what you said 100%. My draft advice would be I hate the prices of the running backs early, and I love the price of the wide receivers late. But that said, that's what the market is giving you. I would say attack running back early because the prices are inflated. Now, you may hate paying a second round pick for Devonta Freeman. It may seem like an inflated cost, but it's what the marketplace is doing right now. So my advice is get at least come out of the first round with a stud running back. If you hate the running backs in the first round, it's towards the back. I'm saying pass on Antonio Brown, pass on Hopkins, and pass on Odell Beckham in the first 8 or 9 picks. Because if you take a receiver there, you're not going to like what you see on the way back for the running backs. As we get out of the 5th and 7th and 8th round, I love all the receiver options there. And I don't like them, the running back options in the 5th round. So my draft advice is, even though the running back market is inflated, go early, pick from the wide receivers you like later. And if you hate all options, that's when you attack quarterback or tight end.
There we go. All right, let's wrap it up right there. Final season-long draft, Bold Cold podcast of the season. Says, man, thanks for doing these with me. It's been a lot of fun. I have one draft left tomorrow, so hopefully...
I have 3 left.
Oh, my God.
You have more. Our draft is not tomorrow. It's Monday.
It's Monday. Yeah, Monday is a final. That's a staff, DFS Army staff draft, my second one of the DFS Army, and hopefully... Hopefully they're not listening to this.
Well, what pick number do you have in there?
I have pick number 4, I believe.
I have 8.
I will be coming out with a stud running back. That I promise. Which one I can't say right now. But we'll see. All right, let's wrap it up. Cez, thanks again, man. Great having you on the show. And good luck to everybody out there listening to this podcast. And just a reminder, as I should have done this earlier, if you're into season-long fantasy football, you might as well want to check out Daily Fantasy Sports. And if you like winning, you should check out DFS Army VIP membership, where you, I mentioned earlier, I'm in the middle of my Geeks pick sheet right now. We have a team of professional Daily Fantasy Sports players, guys who do play big money, who are ranked at the top of the game out of tens of thousands, top 50, top 100 ranked players, giving out advice each week, sharing their cheat sheets, their player picks. I'm in the middle of doing mine as we speak. I will hold your hand and teach you how to play daily fantasy football. We have college football. We have one of the best college football analysts in the business leading up our team right now. They're crushing the fantasy college football games as we speak. So check out DFSArmy.com. Use promo code GEEK to get 10% off. DFSArmy.com, promo code GEEK. All right. Thanks, Cez. We'll see you next time, bro.
Peace and love.
Thank you for listening to the DFS Army podcast. Join the DFS Army today and gain access to our private Slack chat, where you can chat with real DFS pros and coaches, as well as other DFS Army members with winning track records. Also included in your membership is access to our premium articles, DFS Army weighted projections for every sport we offer, from NFL to MMA, weekly player picks and cheat sheets, the strategy vault of timeless concepts, and the DFS Army Domination Station, a truly state-of-the-art lineup optimizer offering your personal projections or ours. The DFS Army membership is the best value across the industry. Join today and get 2 free ebooks, as well as The Secrets to Unlocking a New Level to Your Game.